All right, good evening, everybody. Okay, a couple things. Full disclosure, I have no idea what to expect, what's about to happen. Amen. Yeah, let's pray. So a couple of things. My name's Dave Neth. I'm part of the men's ministry here in the worship team, and that's usually what you guys see me doing. But tonight, I have the distinct honor in bringing you the message, and let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, Lord. We thank you for this time. Lord, I know someone's here that needs to hear this, so please just take me out of it. Just put your words in my mouth. Let your message land on the hearts that need it, God, and just we commit this time to you. Fill this place in your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a couple of ground rules. I'm going to move around a lot, I think, because when I was practicing this is kind of what I do. I'm used to teaching other things, not the Bible, so I want to do this a lot, and I really want to talk with my hands and do stuff like this, but then you guys can't hear me, so I've already been yelled at by the tech guy, Troy. Awesome. He's like, hey, man, right here, buddy, right here. He tells me this. He says, don't hold it like a baby. Hold it up here. So, Troy, that's what I'm going to do. So in case I get talking with my hands and I throw this thing at you, just catch it, walk it back up to me. It'll be great. If I seem like I'm getting really animated and I'm yelling at you, you're going to understand why when I start to get in this message. But I've been in law enforcement for 30 years and I get a little excited, but I get really excited about this. Amen. So, but remember, 2 Corinthians 5:13, if it seems we are crazy, it's to bring glory to God. So by a show of hands, oh yes, here's my PowerPoint. Troy is so awesome, man. Okay, so the sermon tonight, the title is Serving God, and the topic is Responding to Your Calling. By a show of hands, and it's okay if you do this, who has ever struggled with this question, the question of what is my calling? Yeah, exactly. I have struggled with it as well, and maybe not only just struggled with it, but I've also kind of doubted it a few times throughout my career, throughout my life. So what I want to share with you tonight is the answer to this question, which we can find right here in God's Word. And by the way, the answers to all of our problems are right here. Amen. So I'm going to read out of that a lot, and my notes. I have 9 pages of notes. There's no way we're getting through this. Okay. So talking about callings, I'm in a season of my life right now where I'm actually rounding out a 30-year career in law enforcement. I recently gave my testimony at the last men's breakfast, and so the last 29-plus years of my life are right in the front of my mind because it has a lot to do with my testimony. And like I told them that night, and I will tell you tonight, that I always knew law enforcement was my calling. I was absolutely called into it. And I think another reason that this topic really hit me, which, by the way, was not the topic that I chose, that I started out when I was actually trying to prepare a sermon, but another reason it's really ringing true to me right now is in September I turned 50. So what that means is, the way our Percy system works, that means in October I will be eligible to retire. And so not only am I talking about my calling, I'm talking about leaving my calling. So I think this is very fitting for what we're doing tonight. It's exciting and it's terrifying all at the same time because I just want to obey and I want to do what God wants us to do. And my wife, Tammy, and I have been praying nonstop for well over a year, probably closer to 2 years, about what we're going to be doing and what the next direction is for us. So, again, I have struggled with this question several times throughout my career. I could spend the rest of tonight just telling you guys about stories that have happened in my life where God has used me in my career, where God has moved in my family, where God has moved in me and done things, and I have still questioned my calling. And what is my calling? And am I doing this right? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Where God wants me to be? So if you've asked yourself that question, and several of you raised your hands, I wonder, have you ever spent time trying to figure it out? Have you ever done a Google search? What's my calling? Okay, you don't have to because I did it for you, and I'm going to tell you what it said. If you have a couple days to kill, go ahead and Google that and then start clicking on links because it's endless. And I had to jot a few of these things down that popped up, which I didn't click on them. I just used them for this sermon. It said, one of them was, take my What's My Calling quiz. I didn't click on that. 8 ways to discover your true calling. 10 signs that you've found your calling. And it on and on and on and on. And then, of course, I just Googled the definition. And the definition came up as a calling is often described as a sense of purpose or mission in life that aligns with your passions and skills. I thought, well, that's not bad. And then they show pictures of a Venn diagram. You know what a Venn diagram is, where they have the circles, right? And you're supposed to put your things that matter to you, like your abilities and skills, passion, opportunity, and then you move all the circles together, and then right there in the center where they overlap, where those circles overlap, that's supposed to be your sweet spot or your calling. Well, I kind of went a different route with this. And so what I'm going to share with you tonight is out of Ephesians chapter 4. And I came across something that I think is pretty fascinating, and I hope you guys think it as well. So I want to start with this quote, this scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is used to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So I hope you have your Bibles or your phone app with you. And if you do, you can turn with me to chapter 4 of Ephesians. And we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to really focus on verses 1 through 6. I'd like to read this to you. It says, I therefore... Now, what is the rule when you're reading the Bible and you see therefore? Boom, man, nailing it over here. John, yes. Anytime you see therefore in the Bible, you should stop and ask, ooh, what is that therefore? Because either you miss something that you probably want to go back and read, or something's about to happen and you're really going to want to focus. So I, therefore, this is Paul, by the way, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I read that, and I don't know how many times I've read the book of Ephesians. For sure, at least a dozen, and then parts of it many, many, many more times. And that never stood out to me. That verse 1 never stood out to me. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So I immediately thought of two things when I read this. The first being that one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I thought, man, that's sweet song lyrics. We probably need to write a song. Lighthouse needs to write a song about that. Secondly, I thought, what has God called me to? Because I had never understood it to mean we have a calling from God. And it kind of just made me go, man, I've missed something. So I had to go back. So I started in Ephesians chapter 1. So that's where we kind of have to start, because I think this is absolutely leads us to where we need to be. So let me recap the book of Ephesians for you just real quick. Written by the Apostle Paul, while he was in prison in Rome, right about AD 60, and he's writing this letter to the body of believers in Ephesus, right, the Ephesians. The Bible translators have taken Ephesians and taken all the Bible, and they have broke it down into chapters and verses. So Ephesians has been broken down into 6 chapters. And the first 3 chapters, Paul basically lays down a baseline of doctrinal truths. He tells them, starts in chapter 1, and he tells them that God has blessed you through Jesus. He purchased your freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave you your sins. He brought everything under Christ's authority in heaven and on earth. He gave you the Holy Spirit when you heard the good news and believed, guaranteeing your inheritance being united with Christ. He keeps going in chapter 2. He reminded them of God's amazing grace and that salvation is a gift, not a reward for good works. That through Jesus, we are all one, calling us citizens along with God's holy people, members of God's family. And then chapter 3, he says this, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Then in verse 12, I think he drops a bomb. This is verse 12. Because of Christ and your faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I literally stopped. I read that one more time. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now boldly and confidently come into God's presence. And this one really just kind of set me back on my heels. I actually read it. I've got a couple buddies over in Emmett, and we text Bible verses daily, back and forth to each other, all day long sometimes. And he loves to use the effects on his phone, like the slam effect when he sends a text, or the boom effect, and he's constantly, and his name's Brian. It's Brian and Jason, Brian Potts and Jason Hill, and I can see him doing this every time. And so I read something like that, and I just see Brian sending me a text with the slam effect, you know, we can go into his presence. And then every time, so we were doing men's group over there while I was living over there this last year for work. Long story, sorry to squirrel. And he would come up, and every time he would say a verse, he would do this. Oh, yeah. Just every time, every time. And I can just see him sending me this, and absolutely that slam effect, and him just getting serious about it. So I realized, okay, we're on to something. What's going on? So, of course, I had to start looking stuff up in the Greek because I know that's what we're supposed to do. Sorry, Troy. Mic's coming up. Here we go. Turn the gain down, buddy. Thank you. Okay. So I looked up that word calling. Okay. So I'm going back because I'm reading this, verse 12, and he's going to go right into chapter 4 and say, now live a life worthy of your calling. And so I thought, okay, what is he going to talk about? What is calling? So I looked up calling in the Greek. The word in the Greek is klesis, and it just means the act of calling someone or the goal to which someone is called. The noun of klesis is kaleo, and that means to call, and it is used only in the New Testament of callings issued by God. So when you start doing cross-reference searching of verses in the Bible that are using the same word, translated the same, it led me here. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They can't be taken away. And then Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. And that made me think that, gang, God doesn't care so much about your profession. He cares about your confession. And that is exactly where it led me. Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I wanted to do that slam effect. I wanted to text Potts this stuff so bad. You know, he doesn't even know what I was studying, but he would be the guy that would get it if I sent it to him. And then one more, just to kind of add on to this, 2 Corinthians 5:20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God chose us to be Christ's representatives on earth. And Paul, in this chapter, in chapter 4, Paul is challenging us to live a life worthy of that awesome privilege of being called as a Christian. And we have this We have the greatest gift in the world. Greatest gift in the world. And I would go one step further that Paul's not just, because I don't feel like, even though he was in prison, I don't feel like Paul was just whispering this. I feel like Paul was really challenging us. And I think he was actually calling us out. He was calling us out saying, do you understand what you have? Do you understand what you've been given? Salvation's a gift. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to win it for yourself. It's been given to you, but now you need to stand up and act like you have it. And that is, amen. That is how I felt that this was going. And I love how the NLT says this. I just want to read this out of my Bible. So the New Living Translation says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Amen. So guys, what I would submit to you, so we can go, Troy, would you flip point one, please? Your calling is not what you do, it's who you are in Christ. Amen. So of course, I kept going, because I'm thinking, wow, I missed the mark here, because I've always felt like, well, you're called into things. And 100% you can be called into something. And I am not saying that you can't be called into ministry, that you can't be called into service. But like any good chunk of scripture, it gets better the further you dig in. So now I'm thinking, okay. You remember that Google search? Remember where it said a calling is often described as a sense of purpose or mission in life that aligns with your passion and skills? Well, Google doesn't know how close they are to about getting this exactly right. So look at this. I spent the first 20 minutes getting to point one. Now we're just going to go to point two. Bam. When we respond to Christ's love by trusting in him, his purpose becomes our mission. So I kept going. Kept reading. So further down in the chapter, so remember I said there's six chapters. The first three chapters, Paul uses it to basically lay those doctrinal truths, building up the power of what he's saying. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6 is when we start getting some life application and kind of what's going on here and how do you apply this to you? Well, I think in verse 7, he reveals something pretty amazing. So verse 7, it says, "However, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ." And if you go down to verse 11, it lists those gifts. "Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." What I noticed there is what he didn't say. He didn't say that he gave us a special calling. He said that God has given us special gifts. So again, to do another word search, I grabbed that word gift, a special gift. I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something. And I'm not going to say this right, but in the Greek, it's dora, and it just means gift. But using it as an adverb, this is how it translates: without cost, freely, free of charge, without payment, and denoting the benevolent intent of the giver. And I think every one of us has special gifts that is beneficial to others, given to you by God. And what I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter where you work. You might right now feel like you are in a job that's not going anywhere. You might think that you missed an opportunity for a career, and you might think maybe you're even between jobs right now. God's got you, because you can do God's work anywhere. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It does not matter your profession. Are you living as a children of light? Are you living like God wants you to live? The NLT has a great little commentary, and it says it like this. It says, "Our gifts make us necessary to others, and others have been gifted in ways that make them necessary to us." I got to tell a quick story. She's right here, so sorry, hon. One of my wife's gifts. And we have most of our kids here, two of the four at least. And one thing that Tammy's got, a gift, it doesn't matter where we go, absolute strangers will come up and just pour their heart out to her. And they will tell her, this has been the whole time I've been with her, her whole life. We can be, and it doesn't matter where we are, we've been on vacation, but it's usually every day in Winco or Walmart, and we've had cashiers. We've literally held up the line where I'm sitting back going, oh, babe, just pray for her. We got to go. I mean, man, these people behind us are going to. And the cashier has just stopped. You know, it starts out with, how are you today? And then it goes, and Tammy is, and I would say this if she wasn't here, she is the world's greatest listener. But people just come up to her. She has had absolute strangers in parking lots come up to her. She has come home and told me, I think I met an angel today. I think I had an encounter with an angel over the same kind of thing. That is one of her special gifts that she's been given by God. And she uses that thing. I mean, she's faithful with it, and she just listens, and she'll be late. It doesn't matter if we're going someplace. She will just stop and take the time to listen to these people, and it's awesome. It's awesome, babe. So our gifts allow us to fulfill our responsibilities of building up the church. And it doesn't matter what your gift is. You should pray and ask God to use it. You and your gift to build up the body of believers and to do God's work, because that's exactly what he's telling us, gang. That's what he wants from us. That is our calling, is to build up the believers, do God's work. I've got a quote. Again, I know this is a big struggle, and I know we're barely just kind of getting around this. But if you feel like you should have a better job or be in a better position, I'm telling you, it is not true. Here's a great quote from a New York minister. His name is Robert McCracken. He turned of the century minister. And he says this: a man can as truly be a saint in a factory as in a monastery. And there is as much need of him in the one as in the other. Amen. And another quote I love from Martin Luther King Jr. He says, if a man is to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. It gives me hope. There's been so many times in my life where there's been a few times where I absolutely thought, oh, I have to attain this certain level, or I have to get these credentials behind my name to matter, just so it'll open up more opportunities for me. It'll do more for me. It can, but it is not critical. It is not critical. And I'll tell you what, there's the few times in my life where I said I struggled, I promise you, I wasn't walking in the light like I should have been. And I was letting the flesh take over, because I was thinking, no, I need this for me. I need this title, or I need this next job, or I need to work for this company, and I need to say that I'm this. That was me. That was the flesh. When I finally realized God's got this and where God needs me, I have not looked back. I have not looked back. So again, you keep going through the chapters of Ephesians, and we get to those life applications. And I do not have time to sit here and read all of them to you, but I've got them listed out so we could just discuss them real fast in bullet point form. Here's a little bit of homework. I really encourage this. Please, this week, go read Ephesians if you haven't in a while. Read it. See what you think. And then let's have a conversation about it. Grab me this Sunday or next week, next Wednesday, next Sunday at the next men's event. Men, because I know all of you men that are here tonight are going to be at the next men's event. Yeah, right? Yes, absolutely. Amen. And let's have a conversation, because I think this list is pretty important. And why this list is important, it's because he tells us exactly what we need to do, but he also tells us what we need to stop doing. He gives us a bunch of admonishments and a bunch of commands. And I'm just going to list them. I'm not going to read the whole, I'm just going to list these out real quick. No longer walk as the Gentiles do, but be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self. We have heard that before in the Bible. Be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Speak the truth. Seems pretty easy, or pretty obvious, but he felt it was important enough to say it. And then he's talking about, if you're a thief, no longer steal. Labor doing honest work with his own hands, with your own hands, so that you may have something to share with anyone in need. Again, notice Paul didn't say, hey, don't steal, and then go find your calling and make sure it's in a place that I need you. It's not what he said. He said, just go do honest work. Just labor. Don't care. Just be this kind of person. No corrupt talk. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Command, be imitators of God. Admonishment, sexual immorality and impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you. Command, let there be thanksgiving. And he keeps going on, and he's hitting those fruits of the Spirit against the fruits of the flesh. That's exactly what he's talking about. When you lie and steal, and you have corrupt talk, and you're dishonest, and you have crude jokes and filthy talk and foolishness and all that stuff, it's just, gang, you're just giving a foothold to the devil to come in and wreck your day, wreck your week. And then if you're not careful, because he's prowling around like a roaring lion wanting to just seek, kill, and destroy, he's going to wreck your life. And I think, and that is why I think Paul is just so, I mean, that's why he's screaming, I beg you to do this, because he knows how good life can be, even if we're going through trials, if we have life in Jesus. And that's exactly what he is going for here. And he is laying it out. It reminded me of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So then we keep on going. Because I'm convinced now. I'm reading this and I'm thinking, okay, I've got something here. I've never seen it this way. God doesn't care about our profession. He cares about our confession. It doesn't matter what I do, as long as I'm living for God. He's got my back. He's going to take care of me. I just want to remind you, you have a special gift given to you by God to use for his good. You just have to access it. Pastor Greg Fadness came to one of our men's groups. I think this was a couple months ago. It was before the last one. Yes, it was probably two ago. And we were actually doing a Bible study, and we talked about the Galatians passage, fruits of the Spirit. And he said something there that I have not been able to let go since. So we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I know you guys know those, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Am I missing one? Gentleness. Thank you, Pastor Ron. Thank you, Pastor Ron. And so we're talking about it, and we're talking about it in our lives when, you know, the guys are kind of going, yeah, man, you know, it was a rough day, and I was impatient, you know, and man, I'm just praying for patience. It was a rough day. Tomorrow's going to be better. And then, you know, somebody else would talk about something like, I just didn't feel like I had a lot of love going on in my marriage this last weekend or for the last month, you know, maybe something like that. And Pastor Greg says, well, I would submit this to you guys. Fruits of the Spirit, if you know Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, they're immediately accessible. Immediately. There is no incubation period. You don't have to wait for it to grow on the vine and wait for it to get ripe, and then you're allowed to pick it and eat it only during a season. No, The fruits of the Spirit are accessible immediately when you're a Christian. That is all we need to do in our jobs, is to remember that, and remember that when we're angry or when we're bitter or when we're having a rough day and we are impatient, if we pray about it, we can change our heart right then. The Holy Spirit, God will let the Holy Spirit change your heart right then. What it really showed me was I'm choosing to act those other ways when I don't access the fruits of the Spirit. I'm choosing to be bitter because I want to be bitter, because I was mad at somebody. And I thought, no, I'm going to be mad. This is righteous anger. We talk about that. We've talked about that before. I can be, anger righteously, right? So, yeah, and then I'm going to come home and I'm going to tell my wife, man, you're not going to believe what this guy did today. And No. That's the flesh. That's me absolutely not doing what Jesus said. So I throw that out, little pro tip, Galatians, fruits of the Spirit, they're accessible immediately for you. I could keep going. I've got just a little bit more. I want to end with a couple more verses that really stood out during this study. Colossians 1:10, so walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, fruits of the Spirit. Well, we had a point three. I kind of passed it up. Troy, would you hit point three? Or Jenny, would you hit point three? That's it. You're made for more, gang. Your potential is huge. All you got to do is reach for it. It is right there. Jesus has it for you. So what obstacles are keeping you from responding to your calling in the Lord? What areas in your life do you need to turn over to God? Do you need to make sure that you're not trying to control anymore, that you're given to him? Those are the things, that's what I want to leave you with, is that if that is you, here's your hope. God loves you. Your potential is huge. If you haven't reached for it, or if you think you need to reach more, he is ready to receive you. Would you guys pray with me? Father, you and you alone, Lord, make all things new. You called us to live a life worthy of your mercy and grace, to walk in love for one another, to bear good fruit in a new life. You made us to be more, Lord. When you're at work in us, we can accomplish so much more than we think is possible with you. So God, I pray tonight that you help us get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander and all the types of evil behavior that would just allow a foothold to the devil, Lord. Get it out of our lives. Help us to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving, just as you have forgiven us. Have your way in our lives, Lord. We love you so much. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.